Hey, everybody. Happy Constitution Day. We dive into the beauty and the exceptionalism of the United States Constitution. Before we get into that, I want to tell you guys about thinker.org/Charlie. You are able to consume big ideas quickly at thinker.org/Charlie. So I want to talk about the thinker.org Book of the Week. The one that we want to talk about is the Federalist Papers. The Federalist Papers were anonymously written articles that were done after the Constitutional Convention, written by Madison, Hamilton, and Jay. Now, I encourage you to read the actual Federalist Papers, but you guys can get the big ideas very quickly at thinker.org/Charlie. For the sake of the common good, decisions should follow from evidence rather than emotions or personal interest, Madison wrote. One of the biggest advantages to a union is its ability to deal well with factions. This idea of factionalism is a big deal in the Federalist Papers. A republic is the only form of government worthy of the American people, but will we remain worthy of them? And a system of checks and balances harness human natural tendencies to hold on to power in ways that protect citizens from tyranny. You can learn that and more at thinker.org, thinker.org/Charlie. Check it out. Consume big ideas very easily. Also, you guys can check out The Prince by Niccolò Machiavelli. And Machiavelli really was and is the high priest of modern-day leftism. And you guys will find out when you guys check it out at thinker.org/Charlie. Email us your thoughts at freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support our program, go to charliekirk.com/support. That's charliekirk.com/support. It's Constitution Day. We are celebrating it. Send this episode to your children and grandchildren, to your friends and family, and say, take a moment to be thankful that we live in the republic, not a democracy, that we live in. It's truly a gift from God. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. This episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Honored to be with you today. Today is a day that every single child in school should take pause and be led through and told the great American story of how we got here. Today is a beautiful day. There's a lot wrong with our country right now, and I want to take a pause to remember what happened on this day in 1787. September 17th, 1787 was one of the most significant days in human history. It was definitely one of the most significant days in political history. Almost never before had this idea of self-government been tried. The Romans tried it in some capacity and failed and eventually became an empire. The Greeks tried it in city-states. But never before did a people attempt to embark on a form of government where the people were the sovereign, with an idea of self-government, independent judiciary, the ideas of freedom and equality and the rule of law that are the ultimate principles to build that society. In today's time, it's easy to feel disconnected to the brilliance or the clairvoyance or the wisdom of our founding fathers or the framers. September 17th, 1787 was the last day of a heated constitutional convention that lasted almost the entire summer. It went from May 25th to September 17th, 1787. It was held in private, in secret. George Washington presided over the chair of the Constitutional Convention. Now, we have some notes from the Constitutional Convention, but most of the back and forth, the debate and the commentary, we will never know exactly what was said. Alexander Hamilton, John Jay, James Madison, they were going at it. You see, the Articles in Confederation, at Articles of Confederation, which were written after the successful revolution or separation from the British, were posing problems. There was Shays' Rebellion. There was inability to do commerce between states, to mint currency. It became more and more clear that some form of a federal government was necessary. The question is, what kind of government do we want to form? Now, a sloppy way to talk about the American story is to say we had two foundings, one in 1776 and one in 1787. That is not true. There is a divine connection between the truths of the Declaration of Independence and the laws of the Constitution of the United States. In the Declaration of Independence, written by Thomas Jefferson, it starts with, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to separation. Laws of nature and nature's God. The founding fathers and framers built a civilization on eternal truths. This is one of the most significant developments in the history of our species, in the history of human beings. Now, the founders, before the American Revolution, before the French Indian War, what did the pilgrims bring with them to the shores of America? They brought a civilization with them, the beginnings of Western society. They brought faith, knowledge of the classics, Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle, Aquinas, Augustine. The whole meaning of a civilization, they brought almost everything except the aristocracy. They started new. They started something from nothing. Thomas Jefferson continued by saying, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Human equality is an idea that civilizations today still reject. This idea that the type of being that you are, a human being, the speaking being, you are a being rooted in reason, that you desire to be as you are. You have a yearn to know. The founders knew this ancient wisdom, and they also knew the developments of the Enlightenment. They said, how can we build a system, build a compact, build a contract that will balance all of these things together and allow for self-government, allow for the pursuit of virtue, which is liberty, put licentiousness in check, have a system where tyranny and the potential for tyranny is put aside so that people are able to live quiet and peaceable lives. In the United States Constitution, it begins with we the people. That's you. It's not we the Tony Fauci. It's not we the Lois Lerner. Not we the Mark Milley. We the people of the United States. Now, of the United States is very important. It shows that it's not we the people of Nicaragua, we the people of the world. No, it's we the people of the boundaries and the borders and the tradition of the United States of America. In order to form a more perfect union, establish justice. Now, that's pretty important. You see, America's divided right now, divided into two different ways to view justice. We as conservatives and constitutionalists, we view justice in the traditional sense. A man gets what he is owed. You have your own agency, your own ability, your capacity to make choices, and you'll be held accountable to that. The founding fathers rejected ancestral justice, blood guilt justice. They rejected tribal justice. They said, who are you as a human being? What do you have? What have you done? What are you going to do? Today, we are now told about social justice, racial justice, environmental justice, redistributive justice. The founders and the framers would reject that completely. They said that diminishes the soul of a human being. It de-emphasizes the agency, the choice, the ability for that human being to be all that God wants that person to be. Ensure domestic tranquility. Provide for the common defense. Promote the general welfare and secure the blessings of liberty. It's a beautiful statement. Liberty is not man's idea. It's God's idea. And the founders knew that, which is why they called it the blessings of liberty. They did not call it the benefits of liberty. They did not say the enjoyment of liberty. They did not say the luxury of liberty. They said the blessings, capital B, of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity. Now, what does that mean? They're looking intergenerationally. The founders knew, as Edmund Burke did, that there's a three-tied knot to every successful and functioning civilization. What comes before you matters, what is happening now matters, and what's going to happen matters. The founders realized that any government that is only worried about sending stimulus checks to people now and not worrying about the price tomorrow is not a moral government. A government that will print money into obscurity because who cares, we're all dead in the long run, as John Maynard Keynes would say, is not a moral government. Instead, they said, we must make a contract, a compact, a promise, an obligation to people that are not yet born. This idea of looking forward to the unborn, to the future generations, was unique to the American system. Not just worrying about sustenance and momentary pleasure. Instead, the founding fathers embraced ancient wisdom of denying one self-gratification and having delayed gratification to be able to enjoy something less today so someone in the future can enjoy it more tomorrow. Do ordain. Boy, ordain is a word you use in church, isn't it? They were using transcendent terms to say, we establish this Constitution for the United States of America. September 17th, 1787. So much more I want to get into as we remember this beautiful day. We must keep on remembering it, because if we yield to the people in charge, it'll soon be forgotten. Did you know that if you shop at Nike, they turn around and give your hard-earned dollars to pro-abortion groups like Planned Parenthood and the Population Council? Sinister folks, by the way. Did you know that Airbnb gave $500,000 to the Marxist BLM Incorporated organization? Your first vote is at the ballot box, but that isn't enough to defend our traditional Judeo-Christian values. Left-wing corporations are subverting our nation and our republic by taking money from conservative customers and giving it to radical organizations that support abortion, gun control, and critical race theory. You have another vote, a second vote at the checkout line, which is why there's a massively important organization called Second Vote that comes in. I know them very well. I've known them for years, and I'm so honored to partner with them. And the courageous people at Second Vote are exposing corporations for how they spend your money. So check out secondvote.com today. Second Vote is developing incredible tools and engaging the smartest minds in the country to help inform Americans' purchasing decisions. Their work is arduous, complex, and exhaustive, and it doesn't happen for free. So please support their work so we can defend our future from the woke Marxist mob. So here's what I want you to do. Do what I did. Just go right now to secondvote.com and subscribe. It's $50 a year. I know it costs something, but they have to be able to pay for their research. And the Black family, who are amazing people, by the way, have underwritten this effort for quite some time. But if you use the promo code Charlie, you get 50% off. That's $25 a year, everybody, okay? That's literally $2 a month. And that's 50% off, so $25 a year. That's $2.5 a month at that, so that you can have the information you need on your next purchase. So join me, go to secondvote.com, and subscribe with promo code Charlie. Maybe it's like, hey, I don't know if the car I'm buying, are they donating to Planned Parenthood? What about all these companies? SecondVote.com has every company ranked. It's a beautiful thing. Go to SecondVote.com and subscribe with promo code Charlie today. Seven articles to the United States Constitution. One of the most significant events ever to happen, and most children in school today are not being taught that this is even Constitution Day, let alone the significance of Constitution Day. So what exactly happened on this day? Well, this was the day when debate ended, when all of a sudden the Constitutional Convention was over, and the summer of debate, back and forth, chaired by George Washington, came to completion. But that did not ratify the U.S. Constitution. Now, famously, at the end of the Constitutional Convention, Benjamin Franklin was walking the streets, and someone came up to him and they said, Mr. Franklin, What do we have? A monarchy? An aristocracy? A theocracy? And he turned and he said, aha, you have a republic if you can keep it. That quote is used quite often. And what he meant is that republics are fragile. Republics have a tendency to fall apart. They're nice while they last. They can give you prosperity and freedom and liberty and protect those things, I should say. But they have a tendency to shatter. Once the debate ended on September 17th, 1787, the ratification debate started. These are best articulated in the Federalist versus Anti-Federalist papers, which were series of newspaper op-eds written in newspapers in New York trying to encourage states to ratify the United States Constitution. The Federalist Papers were written anonymously under the name Publius, but we now know that it was Hamilton, Madison, and John Jay, the three major authors of the Federalist Papers. And James Madison said in defending the United States Constitution that the most effective thing about the Constitution is its structure, the way it arranges the power between branches. James Madison, being the architect of the United States Constitution, realized that if one branch gets too strong, gets too powerful without having an equal or opposite reaction, to having a branch being able to put that in check, then the government will fall apart. We must understand as we look to history, unlike what the 1619 Project will say, or Nicole Hannah Jones, or Ibram X. Kendi, or Ta-Nehisi Coates, that when you look through history, there are peaks and there are valleys in our history. There are things where you look backwards and you should just stand in awe, that you look at and it almost takes your breath away, similar to going to Yosemite National Park or Grand Canyon, where you look back in your history and you say, how did they do that? Where did that come from? There's something special about that. You see, the current project that's happening that has been enacted by George Soros and Bezos and the people at the top levels of American society is a top-down revolution to suffocate, eliminate, eradicate any form of loyalty, appreciation, or gratitude to America, the United States Constitution. And so on this day in 1787, this very day, the founders left that hall deciding to commit to something that has never been done before. A wide-ranging republic, granting states' rights, giving them permission to come in, and asking the question, are men truly created equal? Does man deserve a form of government that allows them to live in liberty? We take it for granted because we live amongst it, but it has been and will be one of the most significant, consequential, historic, and meaningful developments in the history of the human species. Do you run a small business? Are you on an elder board of a church? Are you overseeing an organization that does a lot of credit card processing? Well, if you run a conservative or faith-based nonprofit or business, listen very carefully to this. Do not expose yourself to being shut off because of cancel culture. JP Morgan Chase just canceled Lieutenant General Michael Flynn's credit cards because they didn't like his politics. So on the Charlie Kirk Show here, we use Cornerstone Payment Systems to provide uninterrupted credit card processing for the work we do here at the Charlie Kirk Show. So maybe you run a small business and you need a credit card processor. We trust Cornerstone for our processing, and I believe you will benefit from their solutions, their low cost, and most importantly, their commitment to safeguard your transactions. Cornerstone provides all types of credit card solutions, including e-commerce, retail, donations, crowdfunding, and text to give. Do not get canceled like Lieutenant General Michael Flynn. Do not use Stripe. Do not use the big guys that are processing credit cards. Instead, please contact Cornerstone Payment Systems today and let them know you heard about them on my show. You can reach Cornerstone at 714-912-2617. Again, if you are running a small business or a church or you're an elder board of a church, stop using bad guys to process your payments. Go to cornerstone.cc/KRIK. That's cornerstone.cc/KRIK. Do not use credit card processors that hate you and hate your values. Cornerstone.cc/Kirk. Do it right now. We are blessed, everybody. We are very, very blessed to live in a country that still has some semblance of a divinely inspired form of government, of the independent judiciary, rule of law, consent to the governed, checks and balances. And that started today not actually today, but on this day, I should say, many, many years ago in 1787, the United States Constitution, after it was the seven articles were at least conditionally approved by the Constitutional Convention, they had to go state by state. So they had to go. Delaware was the first state. Rhode Island was the last state to ratify and to approve it. And there were seven articles to the United States Constitution. It wasn't until 1791 that the Bill of Rights was passed and ratified by all the states. And that's actually what most people know as their constitutional rights. First Amendment, Second Amendment, Third Amendment, Fourth Amendment, First Amendment, the right to speech, not to be infringed upon by government, Second Amendment, the right to bear arms, Third Amendment, that soldiers don't come into your home, Fourth Amendment, the government can't spy on you, Fifth Amendment, your right against self-incrimination, 6, 7, and 8, all about process, speedy and quick jury of your peers against long imprisonment unfairly. Ninth Amendment, which is actually one of my favorite amendments to the Constitution, which says that anything that is not in the Constitution does not mean that it's not protected. Tenth Amendment, things that are not in here are then given to the states and to the people. And that's the first 10 amendments to the United States Constitution, but that actually wasn't part of what we're celebrating today. If I remember correctly, it was actually in December 1791 that the Bill of Rights was ratified. James Madison wrote, "It is our reason alone that must be placed in control of the government. Our passions must be controlled by it." The Constitution spreads power over time and over land. It makes it hard to change things. It makes it hard to conduct quick revolutions. You see, the founding fathers in this Constitution, and this is the best way to defend it. Somebody asked me to say, "Charlie, what do conservatives actually believe?" I said, "It's very simple. We believe in a natural law. We believe in a natural lawgiver." Founders knew this too. They wrote it in the Declaration, which is why the Declaration is a partner of the Constitution. They go right into each other. As Dr. Larry Arnn from Hillsdale College would say, it's the founder's key. They are meant for one another. We believe in the laws of nature and nature's God. We believe that man is prone to slip-ups, to falling, to tyranny, to despotism. We believe that man, at its highest level of existence, is meant to be free of that sort of tyranny and despotism, is meant to have children, to be part of a community, thinking, reasoning, speaking, worshiping. The founders knew this. And the founders knew this because they decided to study human nature. See, the founding fathers studied every single civilization that existed before them, the Romans, the Greeks, the British, the Chinese. And they decided to take a pause and they said, what do they have all in common? Yeah, there was the Roman Republic that became the empire. There were the Greek city-states in Athens and Sparta. But they realized that over time, that the forsaking of freedom is a compelling political objective, that people are going to be engaged and involved in the mobilization of grievances, and eventually a smaller and smaller and smaller group of corrupt, unelected people are going to have power, and the people are going to live like serfs and servants and subjects, not as citizens. You see, the United States Constitution did something that no other form of government had done, which we remember today. They empowered you. You became, as what the Greeks would say, the word citizen meant, co-ruler. You're co-owner of this project. The government doesn't have the ability to suppress your rights without your permission. The Constitution was not written for the times of 1787. It was written to stand the test of time. You see, we as conservatives believe that there's a natural harmony to the universe. I believe that there's a Christian harmony to the universe, obviously. But at the very least, we as conservatives believe that there is a natural law. Now, not just natural law in the mathematical or physics way to look at things. Not just that force equals mass times acceleration, or an object at rest will stay at rest, or for every action there's an equal and opposite reaction. Not just the second law of thermodynamics, the inevitable law of decay. We believe those things. Not just the heliocentric theory of gravitational pull, gravitational orbit, I should say. We believe that there's also a natural law to how human beings operate, who we are. And that goes to that question of what is justice? If you have a belief in justice, that justice is okay to take from another person because you want it, because it's social justice, then you're rejecting the American and Western view of justice. We didn't come up with this. It was widely written about in ancient Greece between Socrates and Plato and Aristotle. And, of course, the Bible is a document, is a, I believe, the living word of God. But even if you don't believe that, a document that really asks the question of justice. And eventually the question is, you're going to get something you don't deserve, which in the Christian world is eternal life, forgiveness, mercy, reconciliation, which is communion with the divine. The founders realized that no matter, even if you have TikTok and Twitter and cross-country flights, you could put on Oculus goggles and with really fast cars, human beings don't change. Human beings remain exactly the same. The other side in our country don't believe this. They say, wait a second, if we can discover so much using science, if we can vaccinate people, if we can reprogram genetic code, then who's to say we can't change human beings? We believe, and the founders believe, that not only are you a mind, not only are you a body, but you are a soul. The founding fathers built a government on this, the earthly belief of a trinity, not the Christian belief of a trinity, of mind, body, and soul. What does a properly souled individual look like? What kind of government do you want to live in? And what is the moral right for government? And that's an important thing, is the founders, and we as conservatives believe this, made a moral argument for government. They said, here's what you deserve as a human being. You deserve the ability to pursue virtue. You deserve the ability to speak your mind, to come in at least what your view of a commune is, or communion, I should say, with your creator. And we see existential threats to the Constitution every single day. We are seeing existential threats to the Constitution and the promise of the founders on the southern border right now, where there's 8,200 illegals on the southern border from Nicaragua? Nope. El Salvador? Nope. Panama? Nope. Mexico? Nope. From Haiti. Are they, so they're flying from Port-au-Prince all the way to Mexico to then illegally come into the country? Is that right? I don't understand the logistics of this. We're going to play this video on this tape. Now, why is this against the promise of the founders as we remember on Constitution Day? The first line, we the people of the United States, not we the people of El Salvador. Not we the people of Haiti. You see, the founding fathers did not try to make an overreaching, all-absorbing internationalist government. They had the humility, they had the prudence, and they had the correct approach to say there are limitations on our power. Play cut 90.
You mentioned the Mission Bridge earlier last month. This is significantly worse. That Mission Bridge was just about 4,000. This is double that. And as you can see, everybody's just kind of standing around in the heat. There's just a few porta potties. And what I'm being told is border agents on the ground are completely overwhelmed, completely overmanned. And they need a lot of help right now because that situation is getting worse literally by the hour, with more migrants streaming in every single minute.
So I'm told they came from boat to Mexico to then illegally come into America. And do you know that many of the illegals that are coming into America are not being forced to get vaccinated? But if your child goes to college, they're going to be forced to get vaccinated? On this Constitution Day, it's important to remember what James Madison wrote as one of the chief restraints that we must put on Congress and the ruling class. James Madison wrote, "The vigilant and manly spirit which actuates the people of America is a spirit which nourishes freedom. If this spirit shall ever diminish as to tolerate a law not obligatory on the legislature, the people will be prepared to tolerate anything but liberty." We live under many laws that do not apply to elected officials. The vaccine mandate does not apply to members of Congress, but it does to your child. It might to you at a hospital. It might to you work somewhere, even in a manufacturing plant, police officer. If we have any hope to preserve liberty, we must look to the founders and say, they said no special carve-outs, no special exemptions. But the genius of the Constitution when it comes to this illegal immigration problem restrained Joe Biden, who tried to overturn the Remain in Mexico policy. The states, remember, the states created the federal government. The federal government did not create the states. Don't have the bill. The courts do not have the ability to overturn it. So now we have 10 to 12,000 people huddled outside our border, not inside it. It's still a mess. And Joe Biden wants to allow them into the country unconditionally. The Constitution recognized limitations on power. It recognized sovereignty, and it also recognized citizenship. It recognized what it means to be a citizen, a shared story, buying into the project. Not everyone gets to be a citizen of America. The founders knew this, and they knew that without a moral and religious and righteous people, this idea of a republic, and we are not a democracy, we are a republic, will fall apart. It will shatter. I will be honest. It's incredible that our system has lasted as long as it has. And we can save it. We can get to revival. We can get back to the place where our children love America again. A lot of people ask me, Charlie, how do you know so much about American history? The answer is, not from school. As many of you know, I did not go to formal college. Actually, I didn't go to college at all. So my education has been a process. I've always been committed to learning and diving deep into ideas. And one source of truth and knowledge has been the greatest partner in that pursuit of learning, and that is Hillsdale College. American history and civics education, they're quite honestly at a turning point. And the Hillsdale 1776 curriculum, they are teaching the truth. And they have downloadable curriculum for you and your children for free at k12.hillsdale.edu. That's k12.hillsdale.edu. And you could take online courses. So I, every single day, I do my best to try to schedule at least 30 minutes to an hour to take some online courses. So I have my certificate, and I have passed the course in Constitution 101, the intro to the Constitution. I'm about to finish the introduction to Western philosophy. I finished the introduction to Aristotle, How to Live a Good Life. And they have a new one called The Great American Story that I'm taking, and it's phenomenal. If you say, Charlie, how do I get my kids to know history? Literally pay them to take these courses. It's that good. The Great American Story, it's charlieforhillsdale.com. That's charlieforhillsdale.com. Maybe you're more of a World War II fan. They have a whole course on that called The Second World Wars. Maybe you're a fan of Shakespeare. They have a course on that, Hamlet and the Tempest. Maybe you're a fan of theology. They have a whole course on Theology 101. How about on the Greek Wars, Athens and Sparta, Winston Churchill and statesmanship? These are free of charge, amazingly rigorous courses that will get you to appreciate the country, what it means to be a human being, where our rights come from at k12.hillsdale.edu. That's k12.hillsdale.edu. Hillsdale, we are so honored to partner with them on the Charlie Kirk Show. Our children deserve to be taught the truth through a sound curriculum created by teachers, not bureaucrats, and uphold the dignity of each individual. So download the 1776 curriculum right now, and you yourself should at least carve out 20 minutes a day to try and learn something new. These courses can be downloaded, they could be podcasts, and there's little tests after them to make sure that you are comprehending what you are learning. And about after 10 courses, you get your certificate. It's one of the coolest feelings in the world. You feel like you are retaining that knowledge and you have a better understanding of what's happening in America. Download Hillsdale 1776 curriculum for free at k12.hillsdale.edu. That's k12.hillsdale.edu. Phenomenal partners. Please check it out right now. It's remarkable as we read through this beautiful sentence. It's such a shame that students today are not being exposed to this and how it applies to them today. We hold these truths to be self-evident. I know it's Constitution Day, but I believe the Declaration and the Constitution are tied together. They're partners. One preceded the other. If teachers teach the opposite, they don't know what they're talking about. By their creator with certain unalienable rights. By their creator. You see, the Founding Fathers understood a naturally ordered hierarchy of rights and rights giver, of people and creator. that are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. You see that? Thomas Jefferson is laying out here, secure these rights, governments instituted amongst men. That's interesting. Not amongst bloodline, not amongst hereditary kind of tradition. Instead, amongst men, deriving their powers from the consent of the governed. It takes permission. Thomas Jefferson is saying it takes permission, and the Constitution answers these questions. The Constitution goes into this and says, you know what, you do have these natural rights, and we're going to assemble a government that allows you to do these things because you naturally are able to do these things. It's a completely different form of government than you'll find in the European project. It's a completely different form of government than you'll find in most other countries. Gratitude. It's one of my favorite words. Gratitude is something that so many people in our nation are missing. Our country would have already been disassembled by now if it wasn't for the founders giving us the tools they gave us in the United States Constitution. Still to this day, there is an all-out assault through the bureaucracies, through the progressives, from academia to the tech companies to the corporate tyrants to crush the United States Constitution. This Constitution is what stands between us and them. And the Constitution is only powerful if we decide to use it. The Constitution allows the sovereignty of the people to continue and to exist. The story of America, as we look back at the peaks and at the summits of American history, we stand in admiration and awe and with gratitude to Hamilton and Madison and Jay and Franklin and Gouverneur Morris, too, who's a very interesting founder. He was a playboy, let me tell you what. I could tell you a story about Gouverneur Morris at a different time, at a different show at a different time. People say, Charlie, what do we do? Well, how do we save the country? Number one, every single one of you need to commit to knowing what we have. Study it. Ponder over it. Spend an hour or two a day reading the Federalist Papers, knowing where our founders stood on these issues, knowing the tools at your disposal, knowing your rights that are not given by the Constitution, not given by government, it's given by God. These are just your protector. This is just your shield against earthly threats, against naturally given rights of expression, of congregation. There are threats, both foreign and domestic, against the U.S. Constitution. But I'm here to tell you that the threats against the Constitution are mostly domestic right now. We must continue to stand up against them, stand for citizenship, and be thankful. So I want to say thank you to the Founding Fathers who walked out that old Pennsylvania State House in September 17, 1787, for giving us a gift. Praise God for that. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com, and support our program at charliekirk.com/support. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.